This program is brought to you by Babaway Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, ladies. A little while back, a young person had asked me something about fasting, and I got to thinking about biblical fasting. And I'll just tell you right off the bat, I hadn't had a lot of knowledge about all of that, but I decided to study it out at the time. And I thought it might be good for some of us to even think about that, not particularly to fast, but what the purpose of fasting was. I know a simple dictionary definition of fasting is as follows: an abstinence from food or a limiting of one's food, especially when voluntary, and as a religious observation. Now, for years, the practice of fasting has been discussed by members of the Lord's body. Is it okay? Is it wrong? And throughout the years of my Christian life, I've heard these very questions and some very different answers. So let's try to unwrap the veil of mystery around the idea of fasting that seems to shroud the subject by examining what the Bible has to say about it. Okay, the first instance of fasting that we see in the Bible is what I was looking for. And I'll be honest with you, like I said, it's not a subject that I've studied deeply, so I had to do a little bit of research biblically and secularly. And the first time that I could find one instance of fasting in the Bible was with David over the death of his son. And most of us are familiar with that. And we find this in 2 Samuel 12:21 through 23. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise up and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David was consumed with grief over the loss of his son, his guilt over his adultery with Bathsheba, and having her husband murdered to cover that sin must have been overwhelming, given that his son's death was a direct result of his sins. "Howbeit, because by this deed that thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." We read that in 2 Samuel 12:14. So even though David repented, he suffered the consequences of his actions, and they were very heavy indeed. So he fasted, and he prayed. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth, 2 Samuel 12:16. In every instance where we see fasting in the Scriptures, it is accompanied by prayer. Now there are many places in the Old Testament that speak to the issue of fasting. An important one for us to look at is found in Isaiah 59:1-8. There was such an abuse of this practice that God told them that their fasting was unacceptable to him. They fasted for all the wrong reasons, for their own pleasures, and not even truly fasting, but indulging, and they were full of strife. They even went so far as to challenge God, asking why he wouldn't acknowledge their sacrifice after they had afflicted their souls. So we can see from this that their fast was merely a sham, a pretense of a religious sacrifice. We can learn a great deal from these examples of old. The outward showing of a pious spirit does not always reflect the inward heart. There are other passages as well that condemn the practice of fasting when not done properly. One can be found in Jeremiah 14:10-12. The prophet Joel called for a fast, a lamenting with sackcloth and ashes for impending doom. And we can find this in Joel 1:13-15, Joel 2:1, and Joel 2:12-19. Esther also called for a fast of food and water for 3 days before she approached King Ahasuerus. Again, in the case of Esther, we see fasting coupled with prayer, and sometimes sackcloth and ashes. Esther 4:15-17 reads, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law.' and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now, as we move into the New Testament, we see that fasting was still being practiced and often abused in some instances. In Matthew 6:16-18, we see Jesus condemning not fasting, but the manner in which the hypocrites carried it out. They disfigured their faces and walked about with a sad face so others could see their countenance. He told them to go wash their faces and anoint their heads and appeal to the Father, not to men. Some of John's disciples challenged Jesus, stating that they and the Pharisees fasted often, but Christ's disciples did not. Jesus replied, and Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Matthew 9:15. Jesus did not condemn nor condone fasting. He did, however, mention in Matthew 17:19-21 that the reason his disciples could not cast out a devil was because it took fasting and prayer. So what about fasting in the early church? In Acts 10:30-31, we read of Cornelius, who was fasting, praying for 4 days, and God, through a messenger, told him his prayers were heard and his alms had gone up as a remembrance to him, or a memorial. Prayer and fasting were again the means employed to communicate to God. And we see in Acts 14:21-23 that prayer and fasting were a part of the ordination of elders in the churches. We also see Paul addressing the issue of intimacy between a husband and wife in 1 Corinthians 7:3-6. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment. Notice, Paul states by inspiration that he is speaking by permission, not commandment. I think as we look through here, we can draw the conclusion, and it seems like from the studies that I've made, it's obvious that fasting is sacrificial and combined with prayer, a petition to God. It is not forbidden, but it is also apparent that it is not commanded for New Testament Christians. If one chooses to fast, he or she should combine it with prayer and a complete focus upon God and that special need they wish to be considered. It should not be done to be seen of men or to talk about, so people think that maybe we're more pious than the next individual. To bind or to loose the practice of fasting would be divisive and going beyond the scriptures. And because of that, I think that's why we need to be very careful when people start talking about, well, I've been fasting, or everyone should fast once in a while. It's a personal choice, in my opinion, based on what I've read from the scriptures. And if any of you would like to discuss this any further, I'm on Facebook, or you can contact me through Bible Way Media Ladies or whatever you would like. But I just felt like maybe I should answer that, since I've had a couple of folks bring that up lately. So to fast or not to fast, that would be your individual choice, in my opinion. And I thank you for listening.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.